you're here this morning, I do have a couple of announcements, if I can remember how to turn my clicker on. There we go. We're going to have a short meeting with deacons after church today. It should take maybe 15 minutes or so at the most, but we're going to have that today. And then there's two things for January 24th. We're going to have the videos for the Joy Foundation thank you are going to be due then, so that way Jesse has time to put them together. I know I haven't even put my family's video together yet, but what we want, because the Joy Foundation gave us a $35,000 matching grant, this is like the fourth grant. Is this the fourth one, Jack, including the COVID one? I think it's the fourth one. And so we wanted to make sure we give them a real personal thank you. And it's something simple, but it can be a lot more meaningful when they see that there are real people that they're affecting. And so something 10 to 15 seconds. Hi, we're the Wonderland family. Matt, Reka, Sierra, Bryce, Titus, Annabelle, Rachel, and Eve. And we just want to thank the Joy Foundation for their generosity to our church. Short, sweet, that's mic drop, get out. So if we can have those all done before the 24th, that would be awesome. And if you want Jesse to record some after church, just make sure you get with him so that he can get those taken care of. Also on the 24th, I wanted to have a very short member meeting. And the purpose behind this meeting is, as we're thinking about our church building in the future, you know, we thought about it going all the way back to 2015, but things have changed in our church. And so I wanted to just have a brief brainstorming session with everyone. Like, what are some things that you are thinking about that would be good once we have our church building? It can be anything from, you know, I was hoping we could have a Sunday school, or I was hoping we could have a playground, or I was hoping we would do a game night on New Year's Eve. Those types of things, just to kind of get those ideas fresh and flowing again. And one of the main reasons for that is because the elders are going to have an elder meeting that's going to be on the following Saturday, that's going to be talking about a lot of things that we're hoping to put on our calendar. So getting your input before we have that elder meeting will be essential for us to have your input included. And then the other thing is, don't forget to stop by the church building and write your name on the wall studs and write a Bible verse or a prayer for our church. Before they close it up with the drywall, we want to make sure everybody stops by. And we're not really having an official day or time when we're doing it, just when it's convenient for you. I know that after church probably works for a lot of people. So if you can stop by the building and you want to write some prayers on the wall studs, please do it on the wall studs. And if there's drywall up, don't do it on that. But please do that on the, you can do it on the wall studs, and it'll be there for posterity as well. Our church goal, as we've talked about many times, is that we want to attend more regularly as individuals. So if you normally come to church twice a month, try coming three times. And there's a lot of reasons for that, but the final big reason is because we always miss you when you're not here, right? You're a part of our church family. You are important to us. And when you're not here, we notice. And we do miss you when you're not here. So we do hope that you will come as often as you can. Before we do the missionary moment this morning, there's a video I wanted to show you. It's a little bit older, if I'm remembering correctly, but it's talking about the church in China. And I think as we consider how blessed we are here in America, this video is just a good reminder as we start the new year to be thinking about how Christians face the world in other countries.
Sitting there, all 22 of them, and I looked around. I said, now, if we get caught, what will happen to me? They said, oh, you'll get deported in 24 hours, and we'll go to prison for 3 years. I said, you're kidding. How many of you have been in prison for your faith? Out of 22, 18 raised their hands. I thought, no way. And I looked at him, and I said, you 22 people, how many people do you oversee? Because they were all of these small group leaders, underground church leaders in the Hunan province. I said, how many, if you counted up all the people under your jurisdiction, how many would it be? And they counted them up, and they said, little over 20 million. I said, what? See, we forget there's 1.3 billion people in China. This is crazy. Well, I had 15 Bibles, and I passed them out. Obviously, 7 didn't get them. And I said, let's turn to 2 Peter chapter 1, and we're going to read it. And just then, one lady handed hers to somebody next to her. And I thought, interesting. Well, we turned there anyway, and as we started reading it, I understood why she gave it away. She had memorized the whole thing. She just recited the whole chapter. When it was done, I went over to her at a break, and I said, you recited the whole chapter. She says, oh yes, I've memorized many chapters. I said, where did you memorize many chapters? She said, in prison. I said, you have much time in prison. So I said, but don't they confiscate the Bible? And she said, yes. So people bring in scriptures written on pieces of paper and they bring it in. So I said, but then if they find that piece of paper on you, won't they confiscate that? She said, oh yes, that's why you memorize it as fast as you can. Because even though they can take the paper away, they can't take what's hidden in your heart. I thought, wow. Well, after 3 days, you fall in love with these people. And when it was done, I said, how can I pray for you? I'm going to go back to America. You guys have been just so wonderful. How can I pray for you? They said, you know, Wayne, you guys can gather like this whenever you want to in America. We can't. Could you pray that one day we'll be just like you? And I looked at him and I said, I will not do that. Big, incredulous eyes looked at me and they said, why? I said, because you guys rode a train for 13 hours to get here. In my country, if you've got to drive more than an hour, people don't come. You sat on a wooden floor for 3 days. In my country, if people have to sit more than 40 minutes, they leave. You sat not only here for 3 days on a hard wooden floor, but you did it without air conditioning. In my country, if it's not padded pews and air conditioning, people don't often come back. In my country, we have an average of 2 Bibles per family. We don't read any of them. You hardly have any Bibles, and you memorize them from pieces of paper. I will not pray that we become like you become like us, but I will pray that we become just like you.
How do I follow that up? I don't know how to start after that. It's like we have to debrief that. It's like I don't want to say anything because like I want that to stick in my mind. Okay, well, we're going to do the missionary moment now. It feels like it's nothing. It's like, okay, anyways. It is important. I've got some good news from the missionary moment. Go ahead and let me go use this clicker. There it is. Yep. The Wilds, some good news. And they were asking for funds for this boat so that they could reach the remote villages along the coast near the Papua New Guinea. And the Lord has provided, in his great faithfulness, the funds for this boat. And so praise God with us that that has happened. And continue to pray for the Wilds and pray for the Beyond the Reef Foundation as they continue to try and reach these remote people in Papua New Guinea. But today's missionary moment is on Andrew and Elizabeth Nadowski. You can see their children there, Heidi, Aletha, Braylee, and Nadia. And they're pursuing cross-cultural missions in Middle Asia. We know Andrew as he first became a Christian from the Young Adult Bible Study, led by Matt Zadro. He quickly became a member of Rolling Hills Church and served on the music team and helped led music here. He later went on to help with Red Village Church in Madison and serve with them as they got planted and worked on their music team. They now live in Janesville area and are preparing to be missionaries in East Asia. They hope to leave in the next 6 months. They recently sent out an update, and here's a little excerpt from it. These are the words as they started to feel called to missions about 2 years ago now. So this is some of the thoughts they had. It seems pretty clear we're getting prepared for some sort of move. It's not like we're called to a specific place like our friends were. Here we are, Lord, send us, even if it is to stay right here. a dusk followed by dawn. I know at one point you had considered going overseas. Have you considered it recently? If you're at all interested, I think we should talk about what it would look like if you joined us. So we investigated, we pursued, we trained, we anticipated, we faced doubt, we fell to our knees in amazement. We learned, we leaned in through the delays, we prayed, and we will press in and press on as the Lord leads. And so here they are now. Andrew is transitioning out of a full-time job at Covance in Madison to start working as a graphic design digital artist specialist. Here's some of their pictures that they put in their newsletter. This will be his job on the field in the country they want to do evangelism in. Andrew and Elizabeth are also transitioning into full-time partnership development. They need to be at 90% financial assistance before they can purchase tickets. If you would like to support them, here are three ways. One big way is to pray for them. Two, if you have any graphic design, digital arts needs, especially website design, you can hire them. And that would go to support them, and that would go to give them also legitimacy in their home country. The third option, you could just give to them directly. Go ahead and I'll just read it because I have it. But I wanted to show you that picture because they put in their news updates, delicious praises. And so I wanted to put that picture that they created in there to add to this idea of delicious praises. So they say their girls are growing like crazy and so much fun to see their personalities develop. Our supportive friends and family in this new season. A weekend spent getting to know the new teammates in Kentucky. God's steadfast provision for our family amidst turmoil in the world. So that's some things that they're praising God about. Some things that we can pray for them in are the Father would open hearts here and where he is leading us, that we would be able to have a cohesive family as stress is increased, that we would not lose sight of the need around us as we press forward, that we would run with endurance while submitting to his timing, that we would cultivate thankfulness amidst difficulty in our hearts. And so these are just some of the things that they're asking for prayer in. We could also be, again, praying for many other things, including some funding and finances for them so they can leave in 6 months. So let's pray for them now. Lord, thank you for loving us, spoiled Americans. Thank you for loving all peoples of the world. Thank you for loving us while we still sin. Forgive us for our sins. Keep us from temptation. Lord, help us to spread your kingdom by praying for the lost. And Lord, we pray right now for Andrew and Elizabeth. We pray that you would help them to be a light to the lost here in America and where they're going. We pray that your Holy Spirit would work in the people's hearts. We pray that the family would stay united during this time as stress increases and as Satan would like to divide their family. Lord, help them not to lose sight of the needs around as they press forward to leave. Lord, help them to run with endurance while submitting to your timing. Help them to be thankful. Help us to be thankful during this time. Lord, help us to be like Elizabeth and Andrew. May we be willing to go across the world or even across the street to share the gospel. May we be willing to be obedient to you, no matter how comfortable or uncomfortable it is. Thank you for being the perfect example for us. Thank you for loving us even when we're imperfect and loving others. We pray that you would be praised in all this. Amen.
Good morning, church. It is now time for our corporate prayer time. So if we just take some time, a couple of minutes here, and just focus as we come before the throne of God. It says in Galatians 6, verse 2, bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. There are many ways that we can bear one another's burdens and thus demonstrate Christ's love. We want to devote this time to one of those ways, and that is through prayer. Bow with me in prayer to God. God, as we sit here in this place, we want to become aware that you are sustaining us, that you are near to us, that you are bathing us in your love. For a few moments, put away distractions and be loved by God. God, we know that love is an attribute of who you are. Love is a core aspect of your character. Your love is in no way in conflict with your holiness, righteousness, justice, or even your wrath. Lord, we are comforted that all of your attributes are in perfect harmony with one another. Everything you do is loving, just as everything you do is just and right. Let's spend some time now thinking about God's perfect example of true love. James chapter 5, verse 9 says, do not grumble against one another. Too often we don't realize the damage we do by our grumbling and complaining. Let's all take some time now to examine ourselves. Confess to the Lord any sin that may be damaging you and those around you. No matter what we've done, Jesus has forgiven us if we have been redeemed. In John chapter 6, verse 37, Jesus says, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. Thank him now for his acceptance and grace. As followers of Jesus, we should seek to imitate him in all that we do. In Luke chapter 19, verse 10, Jesus says, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Who are the lost in your life that need your prayers? Pray for them now. Psalm chapter 66, verse 18 says, if I had cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. For those of us who love the Lord, we know you hear our prayers. So with confidence that comes through Christ, we offer to you, God, these thoughts of praise and prayer. Hear us, Lord, and give us the humility to accept that which you have granted to us. We love you and we love others as you have shown love to your people. Make us to be a faithful people that you might be known in the world through this body of believers. We pray these things in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Please stand now as we read from God's word. We are in John chapter 19, verses 16b through 37. So they took Jesus, and he went out, bearing his own cross, to the place called the Place of a Skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with him two others, one on either side, and Jesus between them. Pilate also wrote an inscription and put it on the cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Many of the Jews read this inscription, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Aramaic, in Latin, and in Greek. So the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, "Do not write the King of the Jews, but rather, this man said, 'I am the King of the Jews.'" Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his garments and divided them into four parts, one part for each soldier, and also his tunic. But the tunic was seamless and woven in one place from top to bottom. So they said to one another, "Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it to see whose it shall be." This was to fulfill the scripture which says, "They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots." So the soldiers did these things. But standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said, to fulfill the scriptures, "I thirst." A jar full of sour wine stood there, so they put a sponge full of the sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished," and he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Since it was the day of preparation, and so that the bodies would not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for that Sabbath was a high day, the Jewish asked Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. So the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and of the other who had been crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and at once there came out blood and water. He who saw it has borne witness. His testimony is true, and he knows that he is telling the truth, that you also may believe. For these things took place that the scriptures might be fulfilled, "Not one of his bones will be broken." And again, another scripture says, "They will look on him whom they have pierced."
Well, Albrecht Dürer was a famous artist of the German Renaissance. He lived from 1471 to 1528 in Nuremberg, Germany. How many of you have seen this drawing before? Anyone see this one before? It's his famous study of praying hands. And it was modeled off of his best friend, Franz Nigstein, in 1508. While growing up, Albrecht and Franz were both very poor. And what they did is they made a pact. They drew straws, and the person who won would go to art school. And the person who lost would labor and basically give all their money to the other person to support them. And then when the person who went to school became a professional and was able to make money on his own, he would return and he would finance his friend. So kids, it'd be like if you and I both wanted to go to school and we couldn't afford it, so we just kind of played rock, paper, scissors, and whoever won got to go to school, and whoever didn't win had to do all the work and pay for the person to go to school. And they did that, of course, because they cared about one another. Well, Albrecht Dürer won, and true to his promise, after he became a professional artist, he returned to his friend Franz, only to find that Franz was now in very bad health because of his work. Not only that, but Franz's fingers had become so disfigured that he wasn't able to hold a brush, and he would never go to art school. Dürer was filled with sorrow, but one time he saw his friend force his fingers into a prayer position. And he became so moved by his friend's sacrifice and piety that he created the study of praying hands based on his friend. The portrait became a testimony to his friend's sacrifice and reminded Dürer to never waste the gift that he was given. It seems appropriate on the first Sunday of 2021 to be reminded of the gift that we were all given, the gift that is so valuable that Chinese Christians are willing to face prison and ride on a train for 13 hours to go meet with a fellow believer. In our passage today, John 19:16b through 37, which Bobby just read, John describes the gift of Jesus' death on the cross. And the Holy Spirit calls each one of us to not waste the gift. In verses 16 through 18, the crucifixion is described in almost casual terms, isn't it? You see, everyone back then, they knew the horror of what happened when someone was crucified. And so it wasn't something you just talked about in polite company. You know, we don't describe today what happens to someone when they've been killed in a car accident. We just kind of say it because it's too gruesome to talk about. Children, the fact of the matter is, all your Bibles, all your kids' Bibles, they don't really show how awful it was to be crucified. Too often in kids' Bibles, we see this. That's not at all what happened. It was about the worst thing that could happen to a human being. I want you to think about the time when you have been hurt the most. Maybe you've broken bones or been burned. I actually had my arm caught in a piece of machinery when I was a kid. Broke through 7 places between my wrist and my elbow. None of that pain is as bad as crucifixion. Nevertheless, this happened to our Lord. And just as Isaac followed his father carrying the wood that he was to be sacrificed on in Genesis 22:8, Jesus follows the Father carrying the wood of his sacrifice. Jesus alone bears the punishment of the world's sins. And the punishment for the world's sins is horrifying. And because, unlike Isaac, for whom a substitute is made, Jesus is our substitute. And he bore the full wrath. Jesus, by the way, is not an unwilling victim, as some like to say. Jesus chose to do this for us because God loves us so much. And so scripture is fulfilled, in particular Isaiah 53:12, when Jesus is numbered among the transgressors. He is considered one of us, as is shown by him being crucified between the two thieves. And so this is an important reminder to us as we seek not to waste the gift. You and I are sinners, but we can have peace and unity between each other because Jesus stands between us. And because Jesus bore our sins, we can forgive one another and we can live as a church family. Don't waste the gift. And because Jesus is between us and the Father, we can access him whenever we want in prayer. Don't waste the gift. Verses 19 through 23 are interesting because as we see the written word of God fulfilled in the crucifixion, we see Pilate yet again. This keeps happening in the New Testament. Pilate keeps ironically bearing witness to the truth, doesn't he? To both the truth that Jesus really is the King of the Jews, and to the truth that what God has written cannot be changed, no matter how unpopular it is. The three languages proclaim the charge against Jesus for all the world to read. Yet those with hard hearts don't want to see Jesus as king. Last week we talked about not wasting the gift by living our lives with Jesus as king for all 168 hours of the week, no matter how unpopular it may be. Children, do you think there are people today, even people in churches, who don't want Jesus to be their king? Do you think that's true? There's some people that just don't want Jesus to be king? Yeah. Do you think there are people today who want to change what the Bible says about Jesus? What's been written about Jesus, they say, you know what, I don't like that. I think Jesus is something different. Yeah, there are all kinds of people who are trying to change who Jesus is. And we can't waste the gift by believing those lies. And when we hear those lies, especially when it's around other people, we need to say something about it and call them for what they are. That's why we do things like have the Apologetics Minute at our church. We can't waste the gift by allowing falsehoods against our Lord to go unchallenged. Verses 23 and 24 are another example of how what God has revealed, what God has written, will always happen. See, the truths of Scripture are the real reality. And so it was accepted Roman practice for the four soldiers, which is called a quaternion, who performed a crucifixion to divide the executed person's possessions among themselves. And if they couldn't be split up evenly, like if there was an odd number of things, or if there was something of particular value, it was common to gamble for it, to throw dice for it. And yet, these actions of wicked men fulfill our sovereign God's plan from Psalm 22, 18. Children, do you see the word I underlined up on the screen? If you can read, tell your parents what that underlined word is, because I think it's one of the most important words in these two verses. It's the little word, so. It's the little word, so, for those of you who need glasses or are too far away. Scripture says in Psalm 22:18 that these things are going to happen, and so the soldiers did these things. Now, kids, since you're all so smart, if I say that God wrote it down, so it's going to happen, do you think that means, do you think it means that God just kind of looked into the future and he saw this is what was going to, what people were going to do, and so God just decided he was going to write it down whether he likes it or not? No. That's ridiculous, isn't it? It's the opposite of that. Because God said it, it will come true. It had to come true. You know, a lot of times when we read the Bible, we forget something very important. We forget that God's word not only says things, God's word does things. If we don't want to waste the gift, we need to remember that God's word has power. It not only says things, it does the does things. No word of God will ever be void of power, for nothing is impossible with God. The word of the gospel is power for salvation. It is living and active, accomplishing both saving purposes and hardening hearts. We don't worship this wimpy God who sees into the future and then tells us what's going to happen whether he likes it or not. God is not a fortune teller. We worship a powerful God who says what will happen, and then it does. And so for us, besides acknowledging this truth, it means if we don't want to waste the gift, we must always approach God's word as if it is going to do something. We must be open to change as we hear the scriptures read. We must say to ourselves, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." Because there is power in God's word. Not just instruction. We must be ready to receive and use that power in our lives so that we don't waste the gift. John contrasts the four soldiers with the four women in verses 25 through 27. And for those who didn't know this, the Greek doesn't contain any punctuation, so we have to add it ourselves. But I believe the ESV leaves out a comma in verse 25 because there are four women mentioned. And I believe the fourth is Jesus' mother's sister is likely Salome, who is mentioned in Mark 15:40, who is also likely the same person mentioned in Matthew 27:56, the mother of the sons of Zebedee. And the reason I think it's just kind of said that way up there, it becomes clear when you realize that she, the mother's sister, would have been John's mother, the Apostle John's mother. And he consistently omitted direct reference to himself in his gospel. Regardless, the Holy Spirit calls us to two important concepts for not wasting the gift of sacrifice, Jesus' sacrifice found in this passage. The first is that we are called to take care of our biological family. Children, do you remember what Jesus' stepdad's name was? What was Jesus' stepdad's name? Have you ever noticed that Joseph is never mentioned when Jesus is grown up? Joseph is never talked about. Why do you think that is? Why do you think nobody ever talks about Joseph once Jesus is grown up? Most likely it's because he probably passed away. He probably died before Jesus became a grown-up. And do you know who would have been responsible for taking care of Mary? Who would have been responsible for taking care of Mary after Joseph died? Do you have a guess, kids? I'm seeing the word, because Jesus is always the answer in church. Jesus was responsible. The oldest son, was always responsible for taking care of the mother once the father died. And so here we see Jesus knows he's about to die. He knows he is not going to be able to take care of his mother anymore. And so from his deathbed, he is making arrangements for her care. We don't want to waste the gift by ignoring the needs of our biological family. Jesus' example shows us this. But you know, I had to ask myself, why didn't Jesus have James or one of his other brothers take care of Mary? Because legally, if Jesus died and didn't make any arrangements, it would go to the next oldest sibling. Here's the thing. At this point in time, Jesus' brothers probably didn't believe in him. We know that at one point they try to take him away as crazy, and we know that they specifically say they don't believe in him in John 7, verse 5. And they're not with their dying brother right now. They're not with their brother as he's being killed. And so by giving Mary to the Apostle John, Jesus is showing the bond of church family over biological family. You know, we people who have kids, we have to think about this thing like, oh, what happens to my children if I were to pass away? We think about that. Do we think about their spiritual well-being? Or do we just think about their physical well-being? To not waste the gift of Jesus' sacrifice, we can't ignore our biological families, but we need to put them in their proper place, which is below spiritual family. Now, this doesn't mean we can't ever miss church to go to a family reunion, but it should give us a little bit of pause as we consider what biological family things we might prioritize over church family. Now, of course, the biggest blessing is when your biological family is part of your church family, right? Nevertheless, we don't want to waste the gift of our spiritual family. And as we heard about the Chinese Christians again, we see how important that is when you don't have easy access to it. Now, in verses 28 through 30, there is a ton of symbolism. You know, the one who gives us living water thirsts. The hyssop branch, which is used in the original Passover to sprinkle blood on doorposts, is used for Jesus. And the sour wine being given to Jesus at the end to humiliate him contrasts to when Jesus made the best wine at the beginning of his ministry to honor his friend. By the way, if you don't know what Romans used sponges tied to sticks for and dipped into sour wine, I'm just going to say this. Toilet paper is a recent invention. That's all you need to know. The Romans, who had tortured Jesus and nailed him to a cross and humiliated him and mocked him, they didn't suddenly have a moment of conscience where they thought, we're going to give this man a nice drink. It was used for other purposes. This was to add to the humiliation. And of course, scripture is fulfilled when Jesus declares his thirst. It fulfills Psalm 22:15 and Psalm 69:21. And thirst in scripture is metaphorically separation from God, because thirst comes from not having something that is absolutely necessary for life. Jesus is taking on our thirst. And I do want to highlight one other thing in here. Jesus doesn't get killed, does he? Jesus doesn't get killed in this passage, children. Did you know that? He gives up his spirit. He is still in control. The Greek says he hands over his spirit. Remember, Jesus is not a victim. Jesus is a servant. We waste the gift when we live as if God is not in control, when we worry or fret that somehow we need to act to save someone instead of Jesus. When we live as if we are still thirsty, we waste the gift. In verses 31 through 33, we see the soldiers pass over Jesus because he's already dead. You know, most of the time during Roman crucifixions, they actually didn't care if someone languished on a cross for days at a time. In fact, that's what they preferred. And most of the time, the Roman practice was to leave the body on the cross until it rotted and fell off on its own. And again, they did that as a warning to others. But on certain Jewish festivals, because they didn't want to have an uprising, they would hasten the death so that the bodies could be removed before the start of the Sabbath at 6 o'clock p.m. And the reason the Jews were so adamant about this is because of passages like Deuteronomy 21, 22 through 23, and Joshua 8, 29, that specified the bodies of executed criminals that were hung on trees could not remain there overnight. And so to speed up the deaths, the Romans would take a big mallet and they would crush the shins of the criminals so that they couldn't push themselves upward to breathe, and then the criminal on the cross would suffocate. I've hit my shin before. It hurts. Because of the Passover, the Jewish leaders asked Pilate to do this. So again, we see this strange thing where the Jewish leaders are straining out a gnat while swallowing a camel. They want to make sure that this law about not leaving an executed criminal up there is fulfilled. Meanwhile, they kill an innocent person. This passage serves as a reminder to us not to waste the gift by doing the same, straining out gnats while we swallow camels. In Scripture, always, the main things are the plain things. The main things are the plain things. But how often do we get ourselves into the weeds to simply criticize others so that we can feel better about ourselves about some minutia? Let's not waste the gift by missing the main things: love, peace, faith, grace, mercy, joy. The main things are the plain things. Don't waste the gift by ignoring those. You know, a lot of ink has been spilled over verse 34 about the question, what is the significance of the blood in the water? Now, obviously, the soldiers wanted to make sure that Jesus was dead, and so they jabbed him to make sure he didn't react. Now, some people, they think that John's just simply describing what he saw, and we shouldn't read any more into it. Other people say that this represents baptism in the Lord's Supper. I think that might be a little bit anachronistic. The most obvious answer is that John is describing what he saw, but he saw it as significant. And we can explain that through other things that John has said. You know, when Jesus met the Samaritan woman, he referred to the living waters that he would give her. And in John 7:39, this living water is named as the Holy Spirit. And for the author, the water which flowed out of Jesus' side is a symbolic reference to the Holy Spirit, who could now be given because Jesus has been glorified. And the mention of blood continues the motif of the Passover lamb, doesn't it? Children, do you remember what the penalty for sin is in the Bible? Do you remember what the penalty for sin is? Yeah, the penalty for sin is death, and another way that they say it is blood is the only thing that pays the penalty. Jesus gives us himself as the sacrifice for our sins. And he gives us the Holy Spirit so that we can live meaningful and significant lives. And so as we consider how not to waste the gift, two things should come to our mind. First of all, Jesus paid the penalty for our sins, right? We don't need to live in guilt and fear or thinking that somehow we need to add to what Jesus did. Jesus says earlier in our passage, our big passage, it is finished. We don't need to punish ourselves anymore. Our sins have already been paid. We don't need to think that God is punishing us still because our sins have been paid. The second thing, don't waste the gift of the Holy Spirit. As believers, we need to cultivate the Spirit's manifest presence in our lives. And we do this by obeying the commands of Scripture, listening for God, prayer, corporate worship, and spending time in Scripture. I believe it was John MacArthur who said, if you want a Spirit-filled lives, it must be a Scripture-saturated life. Don't waste the gift of the Spirit and of Jesus' sacrifice. John wants all his readers to know what happened to Jesus so that they will believe. That's the theme of the book of John. John saw the crucifixion with his own eyes. It fulfilled Scripture regarding no broken bones from three places, Exodus 12:46, Numbers 9:12, and Psalm 34:20. And looking upon the one they pierced fulfills Zechariah 12:10. And this final section implies the most important way that we don't want to waste the gift of Jesus' sacrifice. We need to share the truth of God with others so that they will believe and have eternal life. Durer's one job was to not waste the gift his friend Franz gave him by being the best artist he could be. Our one job is to not waste the gift our Lord and friend gave us by testifying on Jesus' behalf with both our words and our lives. We need to preach the gospel with more than just words, that's for sure, but certainly not less than words, right? Since faith comes by hearing, right? We must share the good news of what God has done in our lives. And by the way, a testimony is not this abstract thing. A testimony is, it's not something that comes from memorizing a tract or a formula. A testimony is about saying the real things that happened to you in your life. Telling people what God has done and sharing those things with others. A testimony is your story of God working in your life. As we begin 2021, we should all ask ourselves, how are we doing with sharing our testimonies? What are we doing with God's gifts? Let's pray. Holy Lord, you freed Israel from the bondage of Egypt before you gave them the law. You freed us from the greater bondage of sin. And then you gave us some commands to not waste the gift. We relish your grace. We are thankful for the great sacrifice. Lord, if we were to take time to truly reflect on the horrors of crucifixion and what Jesus went through, it would be unbearable for our mortal selves. We understand and appreciate a friend's sacrifice, but sometimes we neglect your sacrifice. And so we ask for your forgiveness. And we ask that we would be recommitted by the power of your Holy Spirit to live our lives for Jesus Christ. To be willing to wait to risk it all, like the Christians in China, for the sake of your gospel. Lord, our lives are so short. Our time here is so limited. Help us each in our unique way with our unique giftings to honor you and serve you and not waste the gift. Lord, we thank you because you are so good. We thank you for your amazing sacrifice. And may we live our lives in light of it. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this month we are going to be doing a review of our memory verses. And our memory verse for this month is the one from back in August. So we should hopefully all know it. I don't remember the signs though, kids. I don't remember the signals, so.
John chapter 13, verse 34.
A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. A new commandment I give to you, that you
Well, good morning. My name is Lauren Montgomery. I'm the music leader here at Rolling Hills Church. Stand with me and let's worship the Lord together. If you do not feel comfortable singing, then feel free. Go in peace. Just we ask you to use the exit out behind you and to your left there.
Welcome, sinner, come.
So I pulled the band this morning during rehearsal. We've done that song as the first song of the new year every year for the last 4 years, and I'm the only person that remembered. So if you don't remember it, don't feel bad. It's just me. But it's a tradition now at Rolling Hills. It's what we do.
Was pierced for our transgressions, crushed for our sins. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds, we are healed. He was pierced for our transgressions, crushed for our sins. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. We are healed by your sacrifice in the life that you gave. We are healed, for you paid the price. By grace we are saved. He was pierced for our transgressions, crushed for our sins. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. By his wounds, we are healed. Be healed by your sacrifice in the life that you gave. We are healed, for you paid the price. By your grace we are saved. We are saved. He was pierced for our transgressions, crushed for our sins. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. By his wounds, we are healed.
Father, it's by the wounds of your Son, it's by the wounds of Jesus that we are healed. As Matt pointed out during the sermon, this was not an accident. This was not plan B. This was not, oh, just in case people sin. No, Father, this was the plan from the beginning of time. And we are so thankful and so grateful that this was the plan, that you chose us before the foundations of the earth to share in your glory forever. We worship you and we praise you. As another song says, the Godhead three in one, Father, Spirit, Son. We worship you. We ask that you would give us the strength to not waste the gift. We pray all of these things in the name of your Son, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.
Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Jesus, a name above every other name. Jesus, the only one that could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. Live for you. Live for you. Holy. song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever bring. We live for you.
A little reminder, we're going to have a short meeting with the deacons after church. Otherwise, we just pray that you will live for the one who is worthy. That as we go forth through our week, we remember the great sacrifice and not waste the gift. There is one more song, but you are dismissed, and I just pray that you have a wonderful week.
You're dismissed.